For the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you,
7:26.
Mark. I
7:26.
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will a clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Estwan.
Here.
Mr. Sanchez.
Here.
Mr. D. Giovanni.
Here.
Mr. Biskowitz. Mr. Sadlick.
Here.
Mr. Kopchanski. Mr. Blisman.
Here.
You do have five.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. For the record, we do not have any this evening, and I was by to check the mailbox. We don't have any. Communications, I do not have any. Do you have any, Ryan?
Well, other than the email from Mr. Savoy that was sent and forwarded to commission members, I believe he's also on the this Zoom meeting.
And that was from Cody Savoy.
Yes.
Does that have to be read into the record, or it was
I
distributed
don't.
amongst all the members?
No, it was distributed amongst all the members, so.
Okay. We'll move on to item number six, public portion. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Please state name for the record. Anybody from the public?
Right here, Cody Savoy, 41 Great Hill Road.
Yes, Cody.
I just want to reiterate the statements I made in my letter. I don't know if you had an opportunity yet to read it.
I read it through it. We distributed it to all the commission members.
I hope that the board will pay special attention to that the use of an SDD. And I don't know if that is an appropriate use or not. Obviously, there's a lot of other issues with what was presented at the last meeting.
And for the record, there's nothing before this commission at this time.
Yep, nope,
And
I understand that.
if we do receive something, it will be set for public hearing and the public will have a chance.
Understood, understood. I just wanted to also point out a few of the things that maybe the attorney presenting for the potential developer or owner maybe glanced over that the commission should take under significant consideration.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Anybody else from the
Ed,
public?
yeah, we do have
Yes.
Kevin White on board. If there's any enforcement items that you want him to bring the commission, make the commission aware of.
Thank you, Ryan. Anybody else from the public? Okay, we'll move on to item number seven, approval of the minutes of 3/19/24 regular meeting. I don't believe I saw those minutes, Karen.
No, have a motion to table.
A motion to table the minutes. I make the motion that we table the minutes until we receive them for approval at our next meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Receipt of applications. And because this involves me, I will step out of the process now and recuse myself. So have at it, gentlemen. I'm sure Ryan could talk about it.
Ted, this is Vince. You should appoint one of your members to act in your stead as the acting chair for this item.
Raul, you're the first one that you get to be acting chair for this item. Thank you, Vince. Is that a form of a motion or I
No,
just appoint him?
just do
Okay.
it.
Okay, Raul.
Okay, well, Brian, do you have anything to comment on this application?
Sure. So this application is at 43 Franklin Avenue in Derby. It is owned by Mr. Theodore Estwan Jr. and his wife Cynthia, And it historically, when the subdivision was approved on Franklin Avenue in the 1980s, it was two lots. And I'm going to share my screen with the subdivision map that was submitted as part of the application. So it was originally two lots, and the applicant purchased the lot where his home is and purchased the lot adjacent to it and merged them. So the parcel exists today as one lot. The applicant now wishes to split the lot back in a somewhat different configuration from what it originally was back when the subdivision was approved. And as a result, this does trigger what's referred to as a re-subdivision application. And the biggest difference between a subdivision and a re-subdivision application is that a re-subdivision application is a subdivision of a lot that was shown in a subdivision map, which requires a public hearing. So as part of this application, we would need a motion to receive the application and then schedule for a public hearing. Generally speaking, this is, I would say, a reasonably straightforward application, but the procedure does call for the public hearing. I know the applicant has requested a special meeting to hold the public hearing, preferably within at least 2 weeks, because this does require notification in the paper twice. So if you do hold a special meeting, we'd have to get the notice in the paper before the end of this week to hold something in 2 weeks. So again, hopefully reasonably straightforward, but does require a public hearing. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes, Ryan, on the original subdivision, mm-hmm. We'll have to assume that, you know, the lots were conforming as far as shape and frontage and area. What's the big difference between that subdivision and this one as far as lot area, lot size, lot shape?
Okay, so if you follow my cursor here, it might be hard to see on your screen, but this light gray line here represented the original property boundary. Okay, so you had lot. I might mess these up, but they're referred to as lots 102 and 104. And this line split the two. Both lots were building lots on the subdivision plan. There is an easement through here for storm drainage and sanitary sewer in favor of the city. Now the applicant wishes to create this line as representative of the new boundary line. So lot two, as they called on the plan, would have 0.6 acres roughly, and lot one would have 0.65 acres. The minimum lot size is 15,000 square feet in the zone. I will take a look at this, and we have asked the applicant, in this case, Mr. Estwan, to identify where the storm drainage line runs through the easement presently and to confirm that there's no other utilities through this easement. So that way, in the event there are any utilities through here, they're identified, and any future purchaser of lot two would be aware of where those utilities may or may not exist within the property.
Right, because just looking at it without getting into it as far as utilities, I mean, it really, lot two doesn't really look like a buildable lot.
Well, you have the building setback shown here and you have the easement. So there is land between the easement edge and the building setback to construct a lot, construct a house. And then the remainder of this could be lawn, the easement area. So I do know, I believe that Mr. Estwan has approached the Board of Aldermen to have portions of this easement released. It is rather large. I think the original subdivision map had envisioned this potentially at one point as a right-of-way, but it never got approved that way. It got approved as a building lot. Mm-hmm. So the easement that was conceived to be a road stayed in this sort of large shape, which really kind of exceeds what would normally occur with a storm drainage easement. So I believe Mr. Estwan has approached the Board of Aldermen to seek a reduction in the size of the easement itself.
And again, just looking at it isn't really the first.
Mr. Acting Chair, isn't this just the acceptance of the application?
This is receipt, yes.
Or receiving it and scheduling the public hearing?
That's correct. I'm sorry, that was directed towards Raul.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, I mean, typically you don't explain it. It's usually just accepted and set for public hearing. So I don't know.
Well, it's okay to ask you know questions just to understand the application. It's not uncommon.
And if I could just have one more question, just looking at it again, those side yards are not equal. They both say 16 yard side yard setbacks. They are not equal 16 foot setbacks.
Side yeah, and I'm gonna review this, Raul. We received it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have an opportunity to take a look at it and comment. But I have had discussions with the applicant about identifying where the storm drainage is within the easement itself,
mm-hmm.
especially considering that he's looking to have the Board of Aldermen perhaps reduce the easement size. So we certainly want to know where the utilities are within that corridor, mm-hmm. if the easement is going to be reduced in area mm-hmm. or potentially reduced in area. But that would be a decision made by the Board of Aldermen.
Mm-hmm. Right. I wasn't talking about that one in particular. You can see between lot one and two, that's not a 16 foot setback because they're
unable. Yeah. Yeah.
So no, I mean, something might have to be looked at in the survey.
Sure.
So should I make the motion to accept this application?
Motion to receive. Receive is the
table. Sorry, receive. I'm sorry. That's my own.
That's coming.
is there
a motion on the floor?
Motion to receive application 8A, 43 Franklin Avenue, resubdivision application. Is there a second?
Dan Blisman, I'll second it.
So moved.
And the language there is that we'll schedule a public hearing at the next meeting?
Well, that brings up the question. The applicant has asked if a special meeting could be held in a couple of weeks. I don't know what the rest of the members have their availability is. If that's something you want to entertain, or if it's up to you.
Is there a date that the applicant has in mind?
April 29th. It was a Monday.
Yeah.
I'll make that in the form of a motion that we accept that date.
So set the public hearing for a special meeting on April 29th.
Correct.
At 7 o'clock.
Ryan, are you going to, excuse me, Ray Sadler here, you going to have all this information by then?
Well, it was a request made by the applicant. You know, we'll see what he can get accomplished in the meantime.
Okay, because I mean, we've got to locate those utilities yet. They're not even shown here. I see a storm van.
There is a storm manhole that's been identified here. I believe the other manhole is off the property. So he's requested a surveyor to identify the other manhole and connect the dots and just to verify there's no other utilities in that corridor.
As long as we get all the information with that.
Does the applicant think he'll be ready?
He does. He believes so. He'd like to pursue it at that pace. So it's really it's up to you guys.
No. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. We have a second. I'll second it then. Gino DiGiovanni, I'll second that motion. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So you're going to call all those in favor, Ro?
Yes.
Aye.
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 Raul, and for the benefit of the commission, you cannot, the applicant who is a member of this commission may not appear before you while he shows on the screen. And so therefore, it would be inappropriate for him to participate in any way whatsoever with this application. That's by law. He recused himself correctly, but he's not permitted to appear before you. And so while he may have answers to some of these things, he should not be speaking to you.
So when asking for anyone from the application to speak, he won't be allowed.
The law says a member of a commission may not appear, a land use commission may not appear before the commission on which they sit.
I believe his spouse is on the application as well, so she would be free to speak.
She would be free to speak.
I don't think we have broken any rules there, Vince.
No, not at all.
Just want to make sure. Okay.
I just want to, I'm alerting everybody to
stating the facts.
To the issue.
100%. Perfect. So we have a motion and a second. Did the motion carry?
Yes.
It did. Okay.
Public hearing set for April 29th, 7 p.m. And we'll work out the details with Mark. Mark, is that something that can work on your end?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's the fifth Monday, so there shouldn't be a conflict.
Very good. And we'll get the notice in. I'll work with staff to get the notice in tomorrow into the paper.
It won't go in tomorrow's paper.
No. We'll get it in by. We'll have to get in by. I'll do the math, but I think Thursday. So we'll get it prepared for tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's note for the record also that David Kopchansky joined the meeting at 7:40 p.m.
Thank you, Karen. I had some technical difficulties getting in.
So did everybody else.
Yeah.
All right. You can go.
Thank you.
Hey,
can you join again?
Back. You're back.
You can invite me back. Okay, we'll move on to number 9A. Nice job, Raul. City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street. Zone text change application to add and modify definitions, a whole bunch of them. Ryan?
Ooh, Mr. Chairman, I think last month when we left off, you guys had requested, or the commissioner requested, some legal advice from Corp Counsel regarding this statute and how it applies, how it can be applied, and if the city needs to pursue it. So I think I defer to Mr. Lima to see what advice he can offer from a legal perspective.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Has been discussed at the last few meetings. This regulation is being adopted as part of the new statutory scheme that requires municipalities to adopt make their regulations consistent with the new requirements of Public Act 23-142. Over the last month or two, there's been a proposed amendments to the zoning regulations. And I think the specific question as to those amendments related to the minimum required parking spaces. And the requirements of the Public Act simply require that the regulations cannot treat the group child care home in a residence in a manner different from a single family or multifamily dwelling. And my reading of the proposed draft of the regulation, which simply requires that family child care home or group child care homes have no less than the minimum required parking for residential or multifamily dwellings. That's the only requirement, and that requirement would apply to both single family homes and multifamily residential dwellings, as well as the child care facility. So I don't think the amendment is inconsistent with the requirements of the statute, and in fact is would be acceptable under what's required by the statute. In other words, not inconsistent therewith.
Is there any comments from any commission members?
Yes, Brian, could I ask you a question concerning non-conforming property?
Right.
Okay, single family houses, two family houses, which do not have the required parking, off-street parking.
Right.
How are we going to treat those?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think there's a precise answer, but I think the argument could be made That the regulation itself simply requires that the new use, child care facility and child daycare, whatever the family child daycare and group child care home, meet the same requirements as the single family residences.
All not just single family, all
residences. Multifamily, all. Yes,
single family, two family, multifamily.
Correct.
So in other words, if you had no parking spaces on your property and you sought to include a home daycare child, you would have to either demonstrate how you could park either based on single family, two family, or multifamily on your property, or you don't get it.
Right. I would agree with that.
It's that simple.
I think it's more than that, Ryan. I think that, you know, the way that is written, that this new use has to comply with the most current parking requirements for single family.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And if they don't,
they don't get it.
Then
they don't get it.
Was the zoning enforcement officer do?
They don't get approved.
They can't come before us. They can't be approved. And what does the zoning enforcement officer do? If they open up, they circumvented the whole system. He shuts them down, sends them a letter of cease and desist.
Right.
Because they didn't come before us.
Somehow or another, this should be written into the regulation. Somehow or another.
Okay. Well, that's why we had the parking standard set in there, Dave, for that very reason.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a little bit unclear, but, you know, as long as – is Kevin online?
Good luck, Kevin.
he's the guy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Worse this. Okay. You get it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, because that's very, very important, because you're going to get applications in with people that want to do a daycare and say, you know.
If we get an application – if it meets the parking requirements, it's a, and we deem it's yes, it's yes. If it doesn't meet the parking requirements, it's a no. And like Ryan said before, if they don't come before us and just open up, then Kevin has to shut them down. It's very straightforward.
They don't have to come before us.
No, it would be all done administratively.
It's all administrative, technically. Yeah. You know, they don't have to come before.
If they go before Kevin and he says no, and they open up anyway, he has to send him a letter of cease and desist, and then we go to court. Ryan, is that what you're telling me? Yes, Ryan.
Yes, you would hope that with the instruction of this board, that your zoning enforcement officer or whatever official is charged with the application of this particular regulation would interpret it and consistent with what we've been discussing about, which is that any new use would have to comply with the regulation, which is the parking requirements in the single family or multifamily zone.
Whatever the zone is.
Yes, correct.
Raymond, you had a question.
Yes, Brian, when you opened your statement there, you said shall not have less than the required parking currently for a single family, multifamily zones, what have you. Could you clarify that? Repeat what you read there earlier.
Well, this is right out of the regulation. I said no less a family child care home or group child care home under the proposed regulation shall have no less than the minimum required for residential, one family, two family, or multifamily. No less.
No less. That means we could require more?
No.
No.
It's not what he's saying.
It's consistent with what the minimum required parking is. So you can't, if it meets the requirement, it gets approved. If it's less than the requirement, it does not get approved.
So Ray, I think to answer your question, if we were to say impose, well, take for example a single family home in an R3 zone, it requires two spaces. That's the basic requirement for a single family home. If this regulation were made so that the homeowner in an R3 property with two parking spaces has to have now four or three or five or six or whatever it is, that would make it a burden to open up this home daycare that would be inconsistent with the state statutes. So in other words, you're placing a burden beyond what is required for a single family home on that property to open up a daycare. That would be how the regulation would have been interpreted in the past. And because of the state statute, it does not allow for zoning regulations to require something in addition to the single family residential house or multifamily or whatever the case may be. Correct. So what we can do, what we're trying to do with this regulation and is to make it clear that if you're non-conforming with respect to parking, that you're not eligible.
Okay, I got you there, but it's just kind of a, I don't know, I don't like that play on words there.
Right.
That's not right.
Well, I think it's intended to cover the
why does it just say if you meet the zoning regulations, you meet the zoning regulations? Why does it say not less than?
Well, because an applicant may come in and say, I want this use, and I happen to have five spaces. I'm going to put, visitors or customers here, parents here, and my staff here. So they could conceivably have more. It's just not, you can't require them to have more.
Do we have a copy of that state statute?
Yep. It was very poorly written, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think we'd all agree on that.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a look at it a little closer. I don't know. That seems a little ambiguous.
Brian and Ryan, we have to comply with the regulation as written. But I think that we should also put a caveat in approval of this, that this addition to our zoning regulations may be amended in the future, depending on how the state regulation may be altered in the future. Because the readings I'm getting is this thing is going to get clarified by other municipalities in the future, and I don't want us to be hamstrung with a regulation that is going to be difficult to amend that we adopt. Okay. Well, yeah, I know there's many municipalities that are challenging this.
Well, my suggestion, David, I'm not quite sure how we would do that other than to keep an eye on any changes to the act and then act appropriately at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Going to defer to our
corporation. And also just for the record, per the discussion from last month, we did add the CR zone to allow for family daycare and as a permitted use.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been added to the regulation.
And Ryan, one more question for you, Ryan. What if we in our CDD zone, what if we adopt residential uses in there? Would it also apply to those properties as well?
We did not include it in the CDD zone.
Okay. Are we in violation of state statute if we don't?
Vince?
No, because the CDD zone is, while you may approve residential uses, then it is not a residential zone necessarily.
Thank you, Vince. Just wanted to clarify that.
Are there any other comments from the commission members? Any other comments or questions from commission members? We'll open up to the public. Is there? Yes.
I don't know. I'm not comfortable with this. This is okay. Opening a can of worms for daycares and parking problems, and I don't care what the state statute is, but I know we got to abide by it. What if we don't take this to a vote? Then what?
Well, I think I'll defer to Brian ultimately, but I think what would happen is someone could walk in the door who has no parking spaces and demand an approval to allow a daycare to walk in, and I don't know that Kevin could stop them.
But the state statute that Brian read said is what you're referring to, that we got to let it go with that, whatever the minimum requirement is. So why do we adopt this?
Ray, I think there might be a little, I may have confused people with my references, but it's the no less than is not contained in the state statute itself. It's contained in the proposed amendments to the Derby regulations. All the state statute says is that it cannot be treated different in a manner different from single or multifamily dwellings. So the no less than language is our proposed change to Derby regulations, which is consistent with other sections of our regulations, that language.
I just think we should look into this further.
Right.
I'm sorry. Because
Ray, this is Vince. Let me read you the statute, if you don't mind. This comes from Public Act 23-142, and it is Section 83J of the statutes repealed, and here's what's new. No zoning regulation shall treat a family child care home or group child care home located in a residence and licensed by the Office of Early Childhood pursuant to this chapter in a manner different from single or multifamily dwellings. Okay, there's a second part of this, and that is that no later than December 1, 2023 and annually thereafter, each municipality shall submit to the Office of Policy and Management a sworn statement from the Chief Executive Officer of the municipality stating, one, that the municipality zoning ordinance are in compliance with A, section, paren A, subsection A of this section, and B, the provisions of subdivision 1 of subsection D of 8-2 as amended, or specific time frame within which the municipality will bring its zoning ordinances into compliance with section of this section and subsections of section 8-2. Essentially what this generated, this started back in November or so, because the then mayor couldn't sign off on this because the regulation was not in compliance. What you have now before you is in compliance. You have made it no less burdensome on the owner of property to establish a family child care home or a group child care home in a residence district. That's all you're doing. You have made it, your commission, rightfully so, in my opinion, by clarifying the parking requirement associated with a single family home to say that the childcare, the person offering childcare must meet that minimum parking standard. That's what this is doing. And it's pretty clear that that's all it's doing. So all you're doing is bringing it into compliance. And then, correctly so, your zoning enforcement officer now will have the regulation, the new regulation in front of him, in this case, Kevin, to say yes or no. Pretty simple.
Yes, I would also, yes, Vince, you're correct. And I would also add that the act goes on to say that the zoning regulations shall not prohibit those uses in the residential zone, nor require any special zoning permit or special zoning exception for such operation.
Right. I didn't want to read three more.
In other words, if the Derby doesn't do anything, to the extent their regulations prohibited that use in the residential zone or make it a special exception that's basically unenforceable. So you're better off controlling it as best you can with the parking requirements.
Right. And does the licensing board that licenses these daycares for the state, they don't require any parking or drop-off zones or anything?
It's interesting. It's interesting, Ray, that when I looked into this with the person responsible up at OPM, Office of Policy and Management, what she said was that under the child care regulations and licensing of the individual, the Department of Education, who administers this, does make some inspections. And they may put some burden on, but given this guidance, I doubt very much that they'll do more than making sure that there's a safe place for people to navigate. So it's not clear, but this place, it does require a license from the Department of Education.
Interesting.
It's a cockamamie. This is a terrible, terrible piece of legislation that we in the planning world didn't even know was on the docket last year. And by the way, Dave, there are no changes in the offing in this general session of this General Assembly.
No, for the edification of all the members and yourself, Vince, I spoke with our local state rep. She wasn't even aware of this.
Right, right.
Although her voting record shows that she voted in favor of it.
Yeah, because it was dumped in. It was in with a whole bunch of other bills.
Yeah, which was very disturbing. But I think you're going to get some municipalities in Fairfield County that have much more rigorous requirements for daycares.
I think you're right.
Challenge it.
But it won't be until the 2025 session.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are all the other towns, Vince, adopting this? Or?
Yep.
Nobody's.
Well, not yet. They have.
They're in the process of.
Yeah.
Some have. Some have and some have not.
Yeah, most have. So anyway, we're caught like monkeys in the middle on this.
Yeah. All right, Ted. That's where you are.
Yeah.
Any other comments from any commission members? And there are questions from any commission members. Since this is a public hearing, I will open up to the public. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody from the public?
Mark Garpalo, 95 Academy Hill Road, town clerk. Been listening to this conversation for the several months that you've had it. And just want to, wherever you end up on it, I think there needs to be regulations on this regarding the parking, because in many of the neighborhoods, there is no parking, or it's difficult parking, or it puts a strain on the neighborhood if there is not parking regulation there. So I just urge you to make sure that protects the integrity of the existing neighbors there.
Thank you, Mark. Anybody else from the public? Anybody else from the public? I move that we close the public hearing.
Ted. Sorry, I'm having Zoom troubles.
Hi, Dan.
I can't listen to myself talk on Gino's phone. I'm going to walk out of here. Just to point out what Vin had read in is we can also say that we can submit for this year that we expect to be in compliance within a year or 2 years and wait for this general session thing to happen. We can say that, all right, the city of Derby can submit an affidavit. I have it printed out at home, but I'm not at home. That says the city of Derby plans to have these, you know, to be in compliance with this Connecticut 23, whatever regulation by December 31st, 2025.
And that suffices the requirement per that code. Is that incorrect?
Well, that's part of the statute that has a reporting requirement that you just referenced. But as I mentioned earlier, that the current zoning the city's current zoning regulations are unenforceable. So at this point, an applicant could come in and, if it's licensed, could put one of these child care centers even in a non-conforming building because there's no parking requirement. You can't enforce a special exception. So you're better off having at least the minimum requirement as opposed to nothing.
Right now, with the changes, I think that Dave brought up was have install the parking requirements to this
zone.
All of these zones.
Everything in all these zones.
This way, we have the parking requirement that our zoning enforcement officer, Kevin White, who happens to be on the call tonight, this evening, he has something he can enforce right at the administrative level if they don't have to come before us. He can say, yes, you can have this. No, you can't have this, and this is why. And he has some meat behind it. Right now, they're unenforceable. But by putting the parking requirements, as Brian stated, it becomes enforceable. So to put to make a motion to say we're in compliance in until January 1st, 2025, it's still
not in compliance.
We're not in compliance. We don't have anything that's enforceable. If we're compliant and we have the parking regulation, then we have something in front of us that's enforceable.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes, correct.
Brian? Okay.
Yes. Gotcha.
I know what Dan was saying, but I want to make certain that if we do act this evening and we act in a positive manner, that, okay, we have some meat for Kevin White to say, okay, you don't have these two spaces. You can't have a daycare here.
That's correct. That's how we would interpret the regulation. Yes. And it gives us certainly something to point to in our regulation that is, we think, consistent with the requirements of the statute.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for the clarification. Dan?
So is that something that we have prepared with all those regulations?
Yes.
Brian already has drafted up?
Yes, I do.
Yes. I also drafted a motion for consideration, but right now I think what we have right now is there's a motion to close the hearing. It hasn't been seconded though.
Yeah, so, well, I'm not ready to close it yet. Okay.
So, Ned, do you want to withdraw that motion then?
No, I want to add to that motion. Mr. Chairman, want to clarify that these non-conforming properties, which are primarily on the west side of town, have to be in compliance with this parking regulation. We really know that during the winter parking bans that we have on the west side of town, it's a big, big challenge for people who are residents to park on the street.
David, I hear exactly what you're saying. Ask Vince for clarification. Is there, David was talking about expanding something that is non-conforming. The answer is no, because you can't, from what I understand, you can't expand something that's not conforming.
Correct.
Correct.
So
we don't have to state it. It's inherent.
Okay.
You can't expand a non-conforming use.
If that's the clarification, then I'm fine.
Correct. Okay, motion to close the public hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Gino.
Motion does not carry.
Question here is that you're keeping the hearing open?
If we keep the hearing open for what?
Exactly right.
I'm asking for what? What are we keeping the hearing open for? Three people said no. Why did they refuse to close the public hearing? Why are we keeping open? What are they waiting for?
I would like to see the answers on this parking stuff. I mean, that is so wide open.
What,
that's unbelievable.
What is your question?
I cannot. If the state, if I want to open a daycare, let's say in a congested area where there's, I don't know, a single family house with one, where I got the two parking spaces off street. Those are my cars. I live there.
Wait a minute. People two parking are spaces on site. Right now, there's no, from what I understand, there's no way we can enforce the rules. If we put this in place, then we have a parking calculation. It says you need X amount of off the street parking. Not on the street, off the street parking. If you don't have it, you don't get it. It's enforceable by our zoning enforcement officer. That's the way I understand it right now.
I just think we're going in the wrong direction here. I think this needs to be looked into a lot more because I can't see just because if you got a couple.
We've already looked at it for 4 months. How much longer do we have to look at it?
Meet the current zoning for parking, and the state is going to come and license the drop off minors and juniors and young kids on the street to get into a daycare. That's like
they could license bad. All they want, but they can't apply for a zoning enforcement officer, and it has. With this new regulation, he has something he can sink his teeth into. Yes or no? With the current regulation, he does not. I hear from Attorney Lima, and I hear that with the new regulation and the parking calculation, parking requirements for off-street parking were key. And we have those in there now. And that's from our member, from Dave, who brought up the question about parking. And if they want to park two spaces off street, from what I understand now, we have an unenforceable regulation with the two spaces or whatever spaces we require on off site on the premises. If they don't have it, they don't get it. It's real simple.
Ted, right. I guess what I was getting at. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Whoever's going.
Yeah.
I guess what I was getting at as far as not closing the public hearing is that I'm a little confused. Are we not, should the public hearing be closed before we're voting on something knowing that we're going to change the regulations that directly affect it? The very next thing is what we're going to talk about is parking. How does that make any sense?
No, let me try to help you out here. You've got a draft regulation before you that addresses the question of parking to the extent that you are able to address the question of parking. By closing the hearing, you can continue as a commission to discuss this. And with the changes that, unless there is significant change to where what has been published and heard, you can make minor modifications to the draft regulation. You can do that. But closing the hearing still allows the commission members to discuss among themselves the points of the regulation as it is now drafted. Minor tweaks you can do. Beyond that, you would have to have reopen a hearing. I think you have sufficient information in front of you to make a judgment as to whether, and I understand what Ray is saying, that God, you know, somebody has a daycare and they're dropping off the kid in the street. That could happen today. And without a modification to the regulation, someone without any driveway would be able to do that under the current regulation.
Well, I hate to contradict you, but that's not the case now. Right now, if you want to do a daycare in any zone in Derby, you have to come before.
No, David, as of the statute's adoption, yeah, as of the statute's adoption, you shall permit these facilities in a manner that you would treat a single family home. Your single family home does not come before you. Comes before Kevin as a zoning enforcement officer. Your current regulation may say that,
right?
But your current regulation is obsolete.
But it says shall be in compliance or shall set forth a date where it will be in compliance.
Dan, there are two sections of the statute. The first one says you shall. The second says report that you have done. Different sections of the statute.
If we have to report that it was done and we're reporting that it wasn't done, how are we still subject to it? Dave, you understand what I'm saying, right? Because the state said it, that we have to adopt our regulation. If we haven't done it yet, then I'm losing my train of thought. How is our regulation null and void if we haven't adopted it yet?
Because you're correct. You're focused on the section that requires a reporting, and you're right. You can report that you haven't adopted it yet. That is an option. However, even if you make that reporting, the other sections of the statute are still applicable, which means to the extent your zoning regulations prohibit these uses in a residential zone or require a special exception permit, those sections are unenforceable, whether you report or not.
Right.
Or however you report.
Brian, let me speak to this. Our regulations do not prohibit daycares, okay? Our regulations require a special exception.
Right.
For daycares under our zoning. So they don't prohibit. And that's a reasonable way to treat daycares in a residential zone or in the other zone.
David, I agree with you, but the statute says, and I'll read it, zoning regulations shall not prohibit the operation in a residential zone of any family child care home or group child care home in a residential zone located in a residence, or, this is where your point, or require any special zoning permit or special zoning exception for such operation. So that they prohibit any statute or any zoning regulations that does either one of those two things is not enforceable.
Doesn't say anything about parking, though, does it?
No, I mean,
I agree. None of us like it. None of us are defending the statute. We're just trying to explain what it says we have to do.
Mr. Chair. You know,
they didn't take into consideration cities like Derby that have 50 by 100 foot lots with no parking requirements that were built in the 1930s. And what are you going to do now with these places? You're going to allow them to have daycare centers. You're going to allow them to have, off-street parking for employees of these places. I know that it's going to be challenged, but I just want to make sure that Derby is in a position that we could change our regulation if we adopt what the letter of the law is on these daycare requirements
David, you have that opportunity if the statute's changed in any way that would address or make this more lenient than that's being proposed or that has been adopted by the General Assembly. The answer to that is yes. You go through the exact same process and you modify accordingly. You're always free to do that. But in this particular case, there are two provisions, shall not treat differently, and the second part, prohibit in a residential zone or by requiring a special permit.
with our earlier conversations, that's so poorly written.
I know. But let's get over it. And
I agree. We got to move on.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the motion failed to close the public hearing. So this is still on the books.
Public hearing is still open.
Let's move on.
Okay. Move on to number 9B, another public hearing for affordable housing plan, consideration of state mandated affordable housing in accordance with Connecticut General Statute HS30J. Are there any comments from any commission members?
Yes. I made a comment at the last hearing to remove from the section concerning potential development sites, Dale Drive in Derby. Okay. That property was applied for development back, I believe, in 1998, 1999. It was deemed undevelopable and it was ceded to the city of Derby. That property should not be included in the city of Derby's housing plan of development, and I would like it to be removed. Also,
David, could you say what property that was? You cut out, please. It's Gino.
Dale Drive, Dale Drive in Derby. I don't have the section in front of me.
That's okay. I did.
Okay. But it was specifically pointed out as an area for development. And again, back in 1998, 1999, developers tried to develop that property. It was not developable because of a multitude of properties. And it was actually ceded to the city of Derby. And I believe there was a deed restriction put on it for non-development. It was going to be for open space. Okay, how the people that prepared this new housing plan missed that, I don't know. Okay, the other part of it is there's references in that housing plan for DEI for whatever reason. Okay, DEI is an employment and a educational restriction that's put on. It's not part of housing. Housing in Connecticut is regulated by the Connecticut Fair Housing Regulations. And I think it's important that our housing regulations for Derby, our new housing regulations that we're going to adopt as a five-year plan, okay, encompass what the Connecticut housing regulations require. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay, if people want to add certain things to it or whatnot, let their case be made. But my case is, let's stick with the Connecticut housing regulations as written in our new five-year plan and realize this plan is going to exist for 5 years. And any developer coming in down the line over the next 5 years, they're going to reference this five-year plan. This is not a joke. This is something that's important. And any kind of comments that you put in there, okay, could be referenced by a potential developer. Ryan, go ahead. I know that you're chomping to get in.
No, I don't have anything to add. I just wanted to clarify for Gino what Dave was referencing. It's on page 17 of 20 under housing goals. The plan prepared, I don't want to speak on behalf of DiCarlo and Dahl. They prepared this document, but unfortunately, Mr. DeGon, who's appeared before you a couple times now, is out of the country, so he's unable to attend. But page 17 of 20, the housing goals said, four possible distinct areas in which potential exists for Derby to further develop include Main Street South, Downtown Derby, and Dale Drive. And Dale Drive, I believe, refers to the city-owned property at the end of Dale Drive and extends down to Con Ave, I believe, near where Frank Pepe's house is. So, yeah, I think Dave's suggesting that should be not included.
Thanks, Ryan.
And also, I think there was a question last month as well for Attorney Lima to just opine as to whether or not this is appropriate with the Planning and Zoning Commission or with the Board of Aldermen or a combination.
Thank you, Ryan. If I may, Mr. Chairman, on that point.
Yes, Brian.
The statute 8-30J is the statutory provision that requires the adoption of this plan. There's not, frankly, a lot of insight into exactly how that statute is applied. My office, and I know Vince and Ryan, they've worked with a number of municipalities and various areas, and in some of those municipalities, the affordable housing plan is delegated or adopted by the Zone Planning Commission. Others, it's adopted by the legislative body. When you look at the statute, it does use the term, the municipality shall adopt the plan. Whereas if you look at 8-23, I think it is, on the adoption of the plan of conservation development, doesn't use the term municipality, it uses the term commission. So the commission would adopt the plan of conservation and development, whereas the statute says the municipality shall adopt the affordable housing plan. So that to me implies that the appropriate body for the municipality or to adopt the plan on behalf of the municipality would be the legislative body or the Board of Aldermen. So my suggestion to this board would be, you've spent a lot of time working on it, you have the plan in front of you, members such as Mr. Kopchansky have comments, you may or may not like the plan, I don't know entirely what the position is, but my suggestion is that similar to an 8-24 referral, that you refer to the Board of Aldermen with a recommendation, either a positive recommendation, a negative recommendation, or something in the middle with changes, and so that you would act on it, but the ultimate adoption would be made by the Board of Aldermen on behalf of the municipality.
So, Brian, let me add to that a little bit. So, Dave Kopchansky has made, and others have made, suggested modifications. So, if this commission were so inclined as a referral, treating it as a referral, you could then turn it back to the from whence it came, but with those recommendations. So hypothetically, you could say, let's use that Dale Road. Dear Mr. Mayor and members of the Board of Aldermen, we hereby recommend approval of this plan, subject to the changes identified below. And then you're done. Other towns have up front given the Planning and Zoning Commission the authority. You haven't been given that. You didn't even select the consultant. The mayor, the then mayor, and board retained a consultant to do this work, not you. So I think Brian is absolutely right that you can close, you generously held a public hearing, you can close the hearing, make the modifications back to the Board of Aldermen for adoption, and put it back in their court with the modifications that you believe are appropriate. Call it a day.
In your opinion, Vince, Should we make the motion to send it back to the Board of Aldermen, Alderwoman, our legislative body, with David's recommendation?
Sure, absolutely.
Or without?
I think that's key.
And take Dale Drive out of it.
Right, and any other recommendations? And I think all of the other suggestions that have been made over the past couple of months have been incorporated. And if that indeed is the case, and Dave, you've read it very carefully, plus the correction that you have made tonight, you could do it and you're done. You've met your obligation. Now it's up to the Board of.
Well, the thing is that Vince and Teddy, I'm not sure if my recommendations are the only recommendations.
No, and any, yeah, that's but any, yeah,
right. That's why the question was raised, should we wait till after the changes are made, or right. So we send something back to the, then we can recommend it positively to the Board of Aldermen, because we know they're not going to look at it the way we look at it. They're just not.
That's your call.
That's not their yeah. job.
Not with such scrutiny.
Right.
Yeah, so then, Mr. Chairman, I think you could do it either way, whatever your preference is. If you'd like to, you know, make the recommendations to the consultant, have the report revised in accordance with your suggestions, and then refer it, I think that's fine. Or you could do it and say, you know, here's the report. We recommend approval with the following changes.
Whatever you think is appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it require keeping the public hearing open?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mark, can we discuss amongst ourselves, like David brought up this evening, our recommendation he had, which is a valid one. Does that have to be taken under public hearing, or could that be our discussion, our referral back to the...
In using the model as an 824 referral process, no.
Okay.
Yeah, and I suspect the Board of Aldermen will have their own public hearing in all likelihood. So I think you can make the recommendation to your consultant, have the plan revised accordingly, and send it up to the Alderman.
Is there any other comments from any commission members?
You know, perhaps we could discuss this at our special meeting.
Yeah. I have no problem. The concern I had, David, was do we need to keep a public hearing open or not? Or can we discuss it amongst ourselves? And the answer is no.
So we can provide this feedback to Mr. DeGon, have him update the plan, and then have it prepared for discussion on the special meeting agenda.
That's what I was looking for.
Yep.
So moved.
Okay, motion to close the public hearing. Is there a second?
Second, Gino.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
One down.
Okay, all business. That's still a public hearing. It's still open. 10B. We'll move into 10B. Affordable housing plan. We'll discuss it at the special meeting on the 29th.
Motion to table.
A motion to table has been made. Anyone seconding?
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carried.
Is that motion going to 429? Do you want that language in there saying that it will
be please.
429?
Affordable housing plan. It's not a public hearing now.
Just under old business.
Should we discuss it now, Ryan, if there's any more changes for Mr. Duran, or wait till he comes back and ask him to show up? You'll relay to him the changes that David mentioned this evening. He'll make those changes, send it back to us, and we'll discuss it again at the next
meeting. If anyone has anything else that pops up, if they take a read through it again, just email And
I just want to reiterate, you know, the Dale Drive property and the DEI references.
Yeah. Always available for an email that I can forward to Ron.
You didn't have the public hearing for the public on that thing, but Dave is correct on the Dale Drive. It was before wetlands by the out-of-state owner. And once he started looking at the land, he said, I can't develop this. And he turned it over to the city. That was around 1999.
Correct. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen, for that clarification.
Motion, we'll move on to item number 11. Motion pay bills if deemed correct.
I do not have any bills to report tonight. We have a crazy new accounting system that I'm still trying to figure out.
Motion to adjourn until the 29th.
So moved.
Okay, we'll see you all on the 29th. Thank you very much.
65 people that the town committee wants, and 47.
8:36 p.m.